holy days or holidays. And so Father's Day is one of my favorite, of course. I usually get barbecue and food and all that kind of stuff. And today we got a great message for you guys. I'm really glad you're here. And ladies, you can just double park on this message too. And you're going to learn a bunch. We're going to dismiss the kids for children's church. And man, we got some things going on for kids this summer, don't we? Man, one thing we're doing is we're building this brand new Y project over here for our kids. And we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids in our area that just need Jesus and need to learn about him. And so that's going to be so fun. I encourage you to keep giving towards that and praying about that. And we would love to get that finished up this summer. And we're a long ways away financially from doing that. But we would just appreciate your help and prayers and support. Senior camp is coming up. And Kari has already talked a little bit about that. But if you, I don't know what those ages are, 12 to 18, probably something like that. Is that right, Kristen? 12 to 18? Huh?
13 to 18. 13
to 18. If you have a kid that's 13 to 18, get them to that camp. Camps are powerful events for our young people. Right, Jason? He just come away from a week of that. He's a little blurry-eyed. And yeah. He needs a Starbucks or something, you know? But camps are awesome. So if you have kids anywhere from 13 to 18, get them to that camp. Do not let there be any excuses. We got some sponsorships going on. We got people that will sponsor if you need help. So if you know kids in our church that aren't planning on going, encourage them to go. Because those are powerful events. And Nathan and Kristen are going to put on a great camp. And we want to support that and participate in that, and it's going to be a ton of fun. Then VBS is just like 3 weeks away, and that's a huge outreach in our community. So make sure you participate and jump in and help them. And then Kari and her team is planning kids camp. They're going to be setting up all these tents out back, and there's going to be a bunch of little ankle biters out here. I don't know what those ages are. I think it's kindergarten through fifth grade, K through five, if I remember right. It's probably in your bulletin, but I never read the bulletin. I'm just like the rest of you. I just want to encourage you. This should be a summer of amazing things for our kids, whatever ages. So participate in that and help out. Kari's definitely going to be asking for help, and all of you can jump in and help her with that. It's going to be a great, great event. Well, let's talk about Father's Day. Man, I've been like 3 weeks chomping at the bit wanting to preach this message. And it's entitled, Iron Man, Tougher Than Hell. And I want us guys to know, hell might be tough, Satan might be big and bad, but we're bigger and we're badder and we're tougher. Can you guys relate to that? No, okay. Hey, ladies. No, come on, guys, right? Come on, guys. You need to get your competitive juices flowing just a little bit today. Are you going to let Satan whip your behind? I'm not going to. I'll let him whip yours, but I'm going to let him whip mine. No, I'm not going to let him whip yours either. I know hell's tough. But we're tougher. I got a couple of there's one. I thought, well, maybe that's the graphic we should use. Then there's a second graphic, you know, for the science people. Iron Man, right? Right there. If you didn't do good in science, Fe is the symbol for iron, right? And then the next one you might relate to, there. Iron Man, right? The Avenger. So I was just kind of looking for some symbols. But I want you to know you can be a strong, victorious, winning the battle man. You don't have to have gray hair to be a man. We'll talk to the teenage boys today. We'll talk to the old men today. We'll talk to the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings, the 60-somethings. You know, we'll talk to all of us. I'm the 50-somethings, in case you didn't know. But let's talk about that. Is Satan tough? Yes, right? Somebody was talking about ISIS, and they had an event at the Freedom Bible Church last night and talked about Muslims and Islam and ISIS. And is Satan tough? He's tough. He'll cut your head off if you let him, right? He'll throw you in prison if you let him. He is tough. Is our world messed up a little bit? Is it a little bit messed up? Is Satan tough? Is hell tough? It is. But you're tougher because of Jesus, and so am I. I mean, hell's tough, but I want you to walk out of this building today going, I am tougher than hell. I want you to walk out thinking that, and I want you to walk out doing something about that today. So Satan, he can possess people. Have you ever seen demon possess people? Just look around a little. No, it's probably not too many of them. Anybody raise your hand? I've seen them in church. I don't know if you guys have or not, but right? They come to church. Jesus run into a few of those folks. I run into some of those folks. How much time do I got? No, I got a little bit of time. I'm just starting, right? But I remember Kari and Mom are going into the hospital, and Mom used to do lots of hospital visitation, and they were going in. I forget who was there that we were visiting, but then Mom starts running down the hall and just praying for people, you know, popping into their room. So she goes, come on, Kari, and Kari's just barely saved. She's probably 17 years old, you know. And she goes, come on, Kari. And they go into this room, and Mom knew this lady, and she goes, hi, how are you? And all of a sudden, this deep satanic voice comes out of this woman, get out of my room. And Kari just obeyed. Boom, she was out, like, just like that. Of course, Mom's not quick to obey Satan at all, and so she just kind of hung in there and rebuked him and prayed for the lady, and you don't want to make a huge scene in a hospital with a demon-possessed person, for sure, and you don't have to make a big scene, but Satan does that. He loves to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. He likes to deceive people. Have you ever been deceived by Satan? Do you know that you were deceived? Maybe you don't know. I've always thought if you knew you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. But if you don't know you're deceived, you might be deceived. How do I know? Here's the only way I know if Satan's deceiving me or not. Am I living this? And am I thinking the way this tells me to think? Am I obeying what God tells me to obey? If what I'm doing and if what I'm thinking is contrary to the Bible, guess who's wrong? Me. Guess who's deceived? Me. I am. That's the only way I know how to check out if I'm deceived or not. And I've had the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and God many times in my life just go, Kelly, 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 you're so messed up. You are so deceived. That's not the way to think about that. That's not the way to feel about that. So Satan likes to deceive us, torment us, curse us with sickness, kill, destroy your family, destroy your career, destroy your destiny. Yeah, Satan's tough, but Jesus is tougher. And when you and I have Jesus in us and the Holy Spirit in us, then we're tougher. We got some verses that'll prove that. Well, wait a minute. No, we have verses that'll prove that. And I want you to walk out with those verses strong in your heart. Matthew 16, starting with verse 18, Jesus is asking them, who do people say that I am? Who you think Jesus is, who you know Jesus is, who you say Jesus is, will make all the difference in your life. And so Jesus is asking the question, who do people say that I am? And they answered him, well, some think you're a prophet. Some think you're a pretty cool guy. Some think you're like Elijah risen from the dead.
And Jesus looked at them in the eyeballs and says, "Who do you say that I am?" That's a question we all must answer. Who do you say Jesus is? And hopefully you say, "He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Creator. He's the King of Kings." That's who Jesus is. And Peter said this, "Thou art Christ." And the word Christ means you're the anointed one. You're the powerful one. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, "Exactly right. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." He actually changed Peter's name right there. He says, "I'm going to call you Rock Man," one of the Fantastic Four or something, I don't know, right? Oh, Iron Man, maybe Iron Man. I'm gonna call you. And it was actually saying, "I'm gonna call you Cephas. I'm changing your name to Rock." And it wasn't because Peter was rock solid, right? Peter was a little wishy-washy, wasn't he? He could say it and then not do it lots of times, right? It wasn't because he was rock solid. It's because he knew Jesus was the rock. He knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And that gave Peter the advantage. What Jesus said then, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He will build your life. He will build my life. "Upon this rock I'll build my church." The church isn't this building, right? Anybody know that? This is a cool building, but this is not the church. You're the church. I'm the church. "Upon this rock," upon this statement that Jesus is Christ, Jesus is Son of the living God, He's the Most High, upon that statement, I'm going to build my people, my church. And what did He say? "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Shall not. Are you going through a little hell right now? Do not let it prevail against you. Do not. Stand up, withstand, overcome. Is Satan tough? Yes, but he will not prevail against us. Does he take a swing at us? Oh, yeah. But he will not prevail against us. Does he knock us down once in a while? He does. But he will not prevail against us. He will not prevail against us. I just hope you know that. The verse 19 says, "Whatever you bind on earth, I'm going to bind in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to loose in heaven." Now, that's some authority that God has given you and I. God is saying, "I'm with you. I'm using my power for you and in your life." And that's why I can confidently say you and I are really tougher than hell. We are. How you doing? "Man, I'm just going through it." But you're tougher than whatever you're facing right now. You're stronger than that. It's not because you and I are super amazing, although most of you are really super amazing. It's because Jesus is in us. Jesus is in us. So Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And he says, "I'm making you this rock man, this iron man." Satan will take some swings at us, but he won't get his way. See, this is what I love about the Bible. Satan took swings at people in the Bible, and he messed them up for a day or two, a week or two, a month or two, sometimes a year or two, but he didn't get his way. Satan messed with Job for a while, didn't he? But he didn't get his way. I wish God wouldn't let Satan mess with us. Don't you? I just wish, see, that day's coming. It's called heaven. We're going to have that day. But right now, Satan's tough. And he messes with us. But you're tougher. And God is not going to let Satan have his way. He's not going to let Satan have his way. God will give you and I victory and freedom and abundant life. Satan tempts us. Satan attempts to destroy us. Satan tries to generally mess everything up. God will either stop Satan completely or use his own schemes against him. Now that's some good stuff right there. I wish he would stop Satan completely. And there's many times in your life, many times, when Satan wants to do something and God says no. You and I don't always get to see that. That's why prayer is important. Intercession is important. I need to be praying for you. You need to be praying for me. We need to be praying for each other. And then God will just tell Satan, no, you're not going to do that. And there's other times that Satan messes with us, but God turns his plan right back upon his own head. And we can look at the crucifixion and say that happened, right? Satan says, I'm going to kill this Jesus. I'm going to kill the Christ. I'm going to kill the anointed one. And finally, Satan goes, yes, I win. 3 days later, Jesus resurrects from the grave. And Satan goes, oh, I lost. And there's a lot of time when Satan goes, I win. But it's not over yet, folks. It's not over yet, folks. God will not let Satan have his way. And I know a lot of you, you're feeling the battle. Today, God's message to you is you're tougher than hell. You're feeling it, but you're tougher than it. You're going to persevere. You're going to get through it. You're going to make it through it. And I know it looks bad, but it's going to turn out good. It's going to. We were in Lewiston last night preaching down there at our campus site, and I was just talking to those folks, and I said, you know, even if God, or even if Satan kills somebody, what is Satan trying to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. I said, even if Satan kills somebody, that doesn't mean he wins, and it doesn't mean he gets his way. He wins if we get bitter. He wins if we quit on God. He wins if we hate God because of this tragic event that occurred in our life. Satan can win. But what God wants to do is even when somebody dies, God wants to resurrect faith and resurrect hope. God wants you and I to go, oh yeah, you might have taken, James was the first disciple that was martyred in the Bible. You might have killed James, but we're going to do twice as much work now that you took James. We're going to pray harder. We're going to preach harder. We're going to raise up more disciples than we've ever done. And you're going to be really sorry that you killed James, you know. Sometimes I do that. I feel like the enemy's trying to keep me awake at night. And I just go, oh yeah, I'm going to read the Bible then. You're going to keep me awake? I'm going to read the Bible. It's going, oh, well, maybe I should let you go to sleep. Well, I'm going to read the Bible anyway, and then I'm going to go to sleep later. You know, and Satan just loves to mess with you, but you got to know God's not going to let him have his way. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is Jesus inside of you than Satan who's in the world. I know some of you have some history. Some of you have history where Satan worked this plan to mess you up. Satan worked this plan to limit you, to wound you, to hurt you, to abuse you. He worked a plan to do that, but God's not going to let greater's he that's inside of you than he that's in the world. And God loves, I was talking to a lady last night and they were mentioning anxiety. Anybody have any anxiety? I know Elisha's not here, but he's been struggling with some anxiety recently. And this lady was struggling with anxiety, and I asked her the question. I said, so is the anxiety like you fear stuff for no reason, just crazy no reason, you're afraid, or is it just worry? She goes, I have the whole package. I'm going, okay. The whole package, the whole anxiety package. Anybody have the whole anxiety package, you know? And I said, you know what? You're going to get through that because you're tougher than this thing you're fighting. And God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're tougher. You're going to get through this. And she was just going, there's so much stress in my life. And I end up creating a bunch of stress myself. You guys ever do that to yourself? You start creating all the stress yourself. It's like, I don't even think rationally sometimes about, well, I'm worried about that, and I'm worried about that. What if that happens? What if that happens? And I can't believe it. All this anxiety and this stress just gets overwhelming. I said, you know what? You're going to get through this, and you're going to get on the other side of it. And Satan's trying to mess you up with this anxiety. But you're going to become a person on the other side that really knows how to handle stress well. And you're going to be able to do things that would be really stressful for some people, but they're going to be a piece of cake for you because you made it. You've already fought that battle. I said, Satan doesn't realize it, but he's given you some experience that you're going to use to defeat him in the future. And he thinks he's messing you up. But all he's given you is some experience and some warfare where you're going to get victory, and you're going to use that experience to set a whole bunch of other people free and do some amazing things in your future. See, whatever Satan does, he's not the most high. He's not the most powerful. He doesn't get the final say. And as far as God's concerned, Satan's not going to get his way in our life. We are stronger than him and all of his schemes. And guys, I want you to get your competitive juices flowing a little bit. I want you to rise up, be strong, and say, I am F.E. Man, or I am Iron Man, or I am stronger than the things that are against me because of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is tougher than hell. Peter was tougher. That's what Jesus told Peter. You're the rock, man. You're strong. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. You're going to make it. And did Peter do okay? Did Peter make it through? Oh yeah, he sunk in the water one day. He was rebuked by Jesus one day. I mean, right after he said, you're the Christ, Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. And he says, no, far be it from you. That's not going to happen. And Jesus looked at him and he said, get behind me, Satan. Whoa, wait a minute. You just told me I'm Rockman, and now you're calling me Satan? He says, no, I'm not calling you Satan. I'm saying you're being influenced by Satan right now. And he actually said this, and it's a phrase that we can just grab onto and use in our life. You're savoring not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. I thought, ooh, I got to learn that phrase and apply that in my life. I want to be a man that savors or desires or salivates or commits to the things of God more than the things of men. See, Peter says, Jesus, I want you here. I don't ever want you going. You're the Messiah. You can't die. And he goes, no, it's God's plan. It's been God's plan from the foundation of the world. I'm going to die. And so I know humanly you want me to hang out here and whip Rome for you. I understand that. But that's man's plan, not God's plan. He says, I really need you, Peter, to understand the source of these thoughts. I need you to understand the source of your feelings and make sure you commit yourself to the things of God and not commit yourself to the things of men. And that's been a phrase that's just shaped me my whole life. I hope it shapes you. I hope it shapes you. Peter became strong. Peter became the guy that preached the first sermon after the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. He became the spokesman. Oh, he was rebuked later by Paul one time, remember? When Peter's hanging out with the Gentiles, you know, because this vision that he saw, and it was really cool, and Cornelius was there, and Peter's going, okay, the Gentiles are cool, until something else happened and some pressure was applied, and then he's kind of holding back from the Gentiles and going with Judaism again, and Paul rebuked him to his face. Again, he was probably going, Peter, you're savoring the things of men, not the things of God again. I really wish we could just learn that lesson once, stick it in our pocket, and do it good forever. But it seems like every once in a while, somebody needs to stick their finger in our nose and say, You're way too committed to human stuff, and you're not near as committed to God's stuff as you should be. Every once in a while, somebody needs to do that for us. Every once in a while. I'm doing that for you today. Isn't that special? Sometimes we have this concept of Christianity and discipleship. Linda said something good in our Sunday school class in the back this morning. We talk about being a Christian, but the Bible talks about being a disciple. Being a Christian is like super easy. Believe in the Lord, you shall be saved. Confess Him. It's super easy to be a Christian. You know, in the 70s, they just called it being born again. Are you born again or not? And it just became this really popular thing to try to get people saved. And if you're a huge Calvinist, you think that once you do that super magical prayer, belief, faith thing, you're good to go no matter what, forever. Because getting somebody saved is kind of the end deal. But the Bible talks a lot more about becoming a disciple. And it doesn't really talk ever about becoming a Christian. Christian was kind of a negative word they threw at these people in Antioch. You're just like little Christ. We killed him, you know. And it was a little bit of a negative word. Even today in our generation, people are kind of going, I'm a Christ follower versus a Christian. Because sometimes the word Christian just still has a little bit of a negative word. It's just a little too casual to describe what we really are, what we're really supposed to be. But Linda was just saying that this pastor talked about we're supposed to be disciples, followers of God, fully devoted to Him. That's who we're supposed to be. That's who we're supposed to be. And sometimes we think that we come to Jesus and then everything is easy for the rest of our life. And if something bad happens, here's Satan again deceiving us. If something bad happens, then God must not love you. God must not be real. God must not care. Why did God let that bad thing happen? And we got our theology that tells us God doesn't make bad things happen. Satan does that. But then the rest of our theology goes, but He allows it. So it doesn't help me at all. If I'm thinking that way, that just still doesn't help. So God didn't do it, but He allowed Satan to do it. What's up with that? If He loved me, He wouldn't allow Satan to do it. So if we're not careful, we can go to this whole concept of when something bad happens, God doesn't love us, God must not exist, His word must not be true, blah, 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 right? And there's that little bit of that concept in our culture today, and even in the church world today. So when I'm talking about you and I being tougher than hell, I want you to know that hell's tough. I want you to know that life is tough, but God's still tougher. I want you to know that when you're going through stuff, you can make it through because God's with you. You don't have to give up, quit, blame God, hate the church, hate God, hate Christians because a bad thing happened to you. See, that's Satan's deception again. That's his deception again. Let's read about this guy named Paul, this Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And he's talking about these guys that are saying they're ministers and they're saying that their way is the right way. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. See, sarcasm's in the Bible. Some of you are going, I hate sarcasm. And the rest of us are going, I love sarcasm. Sarcasm's so cool. I'm glad it's in the Bible. There we go. You just got to be careful to not be wounding people with your sarcasm, right? If it's funny, it's funny. If you hurt people, it's not funny. Be really careful. But it is funny. Anyway. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. That sounds good. Like, I work harder than they work. Look at the next one. in stripes above measure. And he wasn't talking about the ones on your shoulder that give you rank. He was talking about the ones on your back from a whip. Paul's going, I'm a minister. They're not. I have stripes on my back. Well, why did God allow that? What's up with that? Well, he's not even close to done yet. Not even close. In prison, more frequently. Prison? Going to prison because you're a Christian? Because you're doing God's will? I thought that only happens in Iran. Nope. It happened in Israel. It could happen here. It probably has happened here. It's probably going to happen here more. Am I worried about it? No. Why? Because I'm tougher than hell. If I go to prison, I'm tougher than hell. If I get whipped, I'm tougher than hell. Paul's going to tell you that here in just a minute. In deaths, often. What does it mean that? He only died once. Yeah, but he was right on the brink so many times. Have you been experiencing risk of death for the cause of Christ multiple times in your life? I frankly have not. I've almost died a couple times because of my own foolishness, but never for the cause of Christ. Of course, maybe in India a couple times on the road, but it was just on the road because they drove really bad, you know. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times he was beaten with 39 stripes. Why did God allow that? I thought he accepted Christ and everything is supposed to be good after that. Satan's tough, but we're tougher. Isn't this a great encouraging father's? Don't you know that Jesus is not this hippie holding a lamb in a garden? Don't you know that's not who Jesus is? I mean, how many times do we see that picture? This pale-faced hippie holding a lamb in the garden. That's Jesus. No, no, no. Jesus is fire coming out of his eyes, riding a horse. I don't like horses much, but he's riding a horse. And he's got a sword, and he's dressed for battle. And pretty quick, the blood's going to be this deep. That's my Jesus, not a hippie holding a lamb in a garden. Come on, somebody. I don't want to serve that Jesus, do you? I'm a man. I don't want to serve a hippie Jesus holding a lamb in the garden. I don't want to. I want to serve a Jesus that'll help me win battles. I want to serve a Jesus that'll get my competitive juices flowing. I want to serve a Jesus that's doing something. That's the Jesus that we serve. Apostle Paul, he goes on and he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. 5 times whipped, 3 times beaten with rods. I was shipwrecked 3 times. A night and a day I've been in the deep. He was bobbing around in the ocean for a night and a day. I would not have lasted. I can't tread water. Water is good for baptism and showers and hydration. That's about it, you know. I would not have survived a day and a night bobbing around in the ocean. And journeys often. Some of you don't want to go to Lewiston to help somebody else out. Paul says, I was in journeys often. Yeah, but it cost a little gas money. Yep, so what? It cost like 3 hours, yep. Perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles. Everybody was after him. Was there anybody left out in that? No, I don't think anybody was left out. Perils in the city, I can understand that. Perils in the wilderness, Perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Oh, you mean there's some of those folks too? Yep. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Did Paul go through some stuff? Is hell tough? But we're tougher. And Paul did not have any sad stories to tell. Like the fourth time that he was beaten with a whip. He didn't say, God, you know, three times was okay. Fourth time, that's it. I'm out of here. How many times do you and I put a limitation on God? Lord, I'll put up with this, but you one step further, and I'm not putting up with that anymore. They actually stoned Paul that one time and left him for dead on the outside of the city. He might have been dead, or he might have just been really close to death, but he jumped up, shook the dust off, and he walked right back into the city. This is the guy that wrote a third of the New Testament. He wrote some of those fluffy verses that we really love. He wrote 1 Corinthians 13. But he wrote it from this perspective. He didn't write it from a hippie holding a lamb in the garden perspective. He didn't. He did not. Let's look at verses, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I'm going, really? Really? After being whipped five times, beaten with a rod three times, shipwrecked three times, bobbing in the ocean for a day and a half, being stoned and left for dead, after being in perils of the city and the wilderness and the countrymen and Gentiles and Jews and robbers and thieves and false brethren, after all of that, you needed a thorn in the flesh? Really? And he said, three times I sought God to get rid of this thorn in my flesh. What was the thorn? I don't know. It was probably some physical ailment that he was dealing with. It was very inconvenient. It was very uncomfortable. It didn't limit him, but have you ever just not felt good and got cranky? Anybody? Ladies, do you want to point at anybody? I know it's Father's Day, but us guys, if we're not careful, we can get cranky when we don't feel good. Maybe not the rest of you. I might get cranky tomorrow. I don't know. Hopefully not. I don't usually get cranky. That's other guys. Three times I asked God to remove this from me. And God, what did he say? Should we read it? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Man, there's a lot of times that we feel like when we are weakened, that's the worst thing that can happen to us. And God says, when you are weakened, I can be strong. When you've reached your limits, I haven't even started to kick in yet. See, that's why we can really, really go to this, you and I are stronger than hell. So, Paul dealt with stuff, but he overcame it. Did he die one day? Yeah, he ended up dying. I don't know, the lions probably ate him, you know? He ended up dying one day, probably in a Roman Colosseum. Some lion ate him. But while he's in prison, he's writing the Bible. While he's recovering from being beaten, he's writing the Bible. While he's recovering from shipwrecks, all these people that turned on him and betrayed him, he's discipling Timothy. He's writing the Bible. He's going on missionary journeys. And if we're not careful, we have an adversity or two. We get mad at God. We blame God. We just say, I'm going fishing. I'm just going to quit this whole God thing. It doesn't work. But guys, I just want you to know, ladies, I want you to know too, that when God's with you, you're tougher than anything else that you're going to face. And you're going to be fine. Just don't quit. Hang on. Keep moving forward. You're going to be fine. When you're weak, then God is strong. I think there's a lot of times when we give up, there's probably a few times I just give up. I say, God, I give up. He's going, finally. Finally. I think there's been a lot of times when he said, Kelly, you're doing it in your own strength. You're doing it with your own wisdom. You're just trying to gut it out. You're just trying to be tough. You're just trying to do that stiff upper lip thing. But when you quit and say, God, I can't do it anymore, will you help me? He said, that's when I get glory. If you can do it on your own, you get the glory. But if you're at your limit and you need me to kick in, that's when I get the glory. And I want to live a life that glorifies God. I want to live a life that glorifies God. In our weakness, we find true strength. It's then that we see what we're really made of. It's then that we understand how much we need God and how faithful and present God is. I just want you guys to know, I am so happy that you're here. Here's the deal. On Mother's Day, the church is a lot fuller than Father's Day. Anybody ever notice that? On Mother's Day, they say, what do you want for Mother's Day? I want us all to go to church together. On Father's Day, they say, what do you want for Father's Day? Let's go barbecue. Let's go camping. Let's go fishing. Wouldn't it be really awesome if Father's Day filled the church more than Mother's Day because the men of God stood up and said, we're going to get a right priority. We're going to serve Him with all of our heart, and our greatest desire is to be a part of His kingdom and what He's doing. That would be so awesome if that were true. Because I'm going to go have a barbecue later. It's going to be good. Don't just react to Satan. I got a couple more points and I'll hurry up. Everything that I've talked about so far is reactionary. But I didn't want you guys to walk out of this building going, Satan messes with us, we react appropriately, we hang on, we win. I don't want you just thinking that. I want you being men and women that will understand your strength and your authority and your power, and I want you to go on the offense instead of just be defensive. Satan should not always have the first move. He never gets the last move, but he should not always get the first move. You and I should be offensive. We should say, I am going to get out there and get on offense. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to get some people saved. I'm going to help some people. I'm going to deliver some people. I'm going to set some people free. I'm going to do that. I'm going to participate in the kingdom. And I want to get engaged in ministry. I'm going to use my gifts, my calling, my talents, my anointings. I'm going to be discipled. I'm going to learn how. Sometimes, guys, we don't do it because we haven't learned how. Let's learn how. Let's learn who we are and what we're supposed to do. Let's get out there and make the first move. Let's go do that. And then disciple others so that they can defeat Satan and grow in their relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 6 is the armor of God chapter. And it's really, really an important chapter for you and I. Obviously, there's a battle, right? Is that obvious to everybody? Obviously, there's a battle. We can win it. We're not supposed to be a victim. I may be victimized for a little while, but I am not going to be a victim. I'm not going to take on the victim persona. I'm not going to run around and whine and whimper and crawl under a rock and give up. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to point the finger and blame everybody and I would have had a good life if only they hadn't and they hadn't and they hadn't and this didn't happen. If only God loved me, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to be that person. There's a battle. And Ephesians 6 tells us we have armor for the battle. God intends you and I to win. Sometimes we become a Christian and it's like we wish there wasn't a battle. And now that I'm a Christian, there's not supposed to be a battle. That's not true. But you are tougher than hell and you can win the battle. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I hope you walk away today going, it is the Lord that makes me strong, and it is His might that causes me to be an overcomer. Put on the whole armor of God. You have to put it on. When you say, "Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins," it's not like Iron Man. And you get in the Iron Man suit. And you now have the armor and the power. No! You got to put it on. You have to put on the helmet of salvation. You have to put on this breastplate of righteousness. You have to take truth in your life and make it your belt that holds everything together and is in the center of your being, truth and honesty. You have to be that. You have to be the person that has their feet, their walk shed, and you have the boots of the gospel of peace. What is that gospel of peace? There's a lot of things that is, but for today, I just wanted to say the gospel of peace is that you need to know God is at peace with you. God is not against you. He's for you. And if God is at peace with you, you can walk confidently, boldly, knowing, yeah, I have an enemy. Yes, Satan is strong, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I will walk a victorious walk in spite of what happens in the middle. In spite of that. And the sword of the Spirit is this great offensive weapon that we have. Let me read just a little more here. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan is wily. When I think of Wile E. Coyote, anybody ever watch The Roadrunner and Coyote? And I think he's wily. It's like, okay, I need another plan. I need another strategy. I need to go buy another Acme product, you know, so that I can get the Roadrunner. I'm thinking, that bird's skinny anyway. Go do something else. He's not going to taste that good. It's going to be stringy. Satan is wily. Satan is strategizing, but the coyote is just, he just can't make it work. And I'm going, that's how Satan is. It looks like he set the trap. It looks like he's got the deception going on. It looks like he's got the perfect product, but it just doesn't work. But you got to know Satan is wily. He doesn't give up. One thing you got to say about the coyote, the dude doesn't give up. Right? Satan doesn't give up either. You whip him today, he'll be back tomorrow. But you whip him tomorrow. You whip him tomorrow, he'll be back next week. But the thing is, you just whip him next week too. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But I don't want to battle. I don't have an answer for you then. You're going to battle. You're already in the battle. Well, a while back I preached a sermon, In It to Win It. You're already in it. You might as well be in it to win it. Instead of be a victim, why don't you just go ahead and win? Why don't you do that? I think I'm going to go home and watch some Rambo movies. Man, I'm all inspired now. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Your battle isn't with people. Satan uses people, and there's probably times he's used you. But your battle is not with people. Don't fight that battle. Quit fighting that battle. You cannot get enough lawyers. You cannot get a big enough gun. You cannot make enough negative Facebook posts to win a people battle. Have you ever won a people battle? Have you ever won a people? I don't think I've ever won a people battle. Even if I killed them, I go to prison. I don't think I won. They deserved it. Yeah, but you know what's going to happen to me in prison? I'm a pretty boy. Oh, some of you think I'd be totally safe. I probably would be. I don't know. Some of you think I'd be totally safe. You can't win a people battle because that's not the right battle. You wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. But you have the right armor to win that battle. You have the right skills to win that battle. So fight that one and win that one. I got to quit. We better pray. Oh, help me, Jesus. This is the Find series. Find it. What I want you to do is find strength. Find your strength. Find your authority. Find perspective on what's the right battle and fight that. We do some of the craziest things to cope with our pain. What are you doing to cope with this battle? We do crazy things trying to cope. We go drink a bunch of alcohol thinking that's going to help us. Folks, that's not the answer. We buy a bigger Ford because that'll make us feel better. Fords are awesome. You should buy the biggest, best one you can. But it's really not going to help you win this battle. I'm going to go eat Twinkies all day. Cope. I'm just going to check out and go be a hermit in the wilderness to cope. See, none of that stuff really works. We do the craziest things trying to cope with our pain. Jesus says, just bring your pain to me. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke's easy and my burden's light. Come to me. Let's pray. God, today, it's obvious we're in a battle. God, it's obvious we have the scars. We have the bandages and the gaping wounds. We're obviously in a battle. And we can wish it didn't exist, but that won't make it go away. We could wish we were already in heaven and evil was vanquished, but that won't make it go away. But God, you've promised you're greater than everything we'll ever face. You promised you'll not let Satan have his way, but you'll have your way. And God, you promised that you will help us to endure whatever we need to endure and not become a victim, but come out on the other side strong and victorious. And God, I pray for us today. Would you help us to not be deceived? Would you help us to see truth and to cope with your word and with your Holy Spirit, and with what you give us in order to really get healed and really get relief and really get strength in our weakened times. God, would you help us do that? And God, would you help us to love each other and support each other Be there for each other. Be a real church. And God, help us fight the right battles. God, some of us are disengaged. We just said, it ain't worth it, I quit. God, would you please restore the want to back in our heart today? And God, I'm thinking of thousands around us that are going through the same battles. God, would you help us get free and get strong so we can help them? We can be a real church. Help us do that, God. And I pray today that every man in the building will get their competitive juices flowing and say, yeah, hell's tough, but I am tougher than hell. And we will be the overcomers you've made us to be. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, the ushers.